It is a good day to be alive. It is a day that was made specifically for you. So go embrace it and be great. Hopefully you are doing well today. If not, how you doing? How can we make it better? I pray that you are continuing on your journey of boldness and greatness. I know that I am. Please make sure you check out our website, www.coolsora.com, for more information on our guests, to check out their pictures and links to their social media. Please make sure you visit our awesome website that was created and done by Jessica at Creative Edge ATL. So make sure if you are in line for a website, you hit her up at Jessica at Creative Edge ATL. All right, today we are joined by a cool sore of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Her name is Renee Rowe, and she is the president and owner of the Wine Cellars in Smyrna, Georgia. Let me tell you, I happened upon the Wine Cellars. My daughter used to take gymnastics upstairs from the Wine Cellars, and I'm like, man, I gotta go down there. And I never was able to get down there. To one night I was waiting on my husband, I was like, let me go into this Wine Cellar. We were supposed to go out, but we were gonna meet out for a date, so I was just waiting for him to get there. So I stopped by the Wine Cellars and I'm like, I got a glass of wine. I met Renee and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I joined the wine club that night. I did so much because I fell in love with this place. And then I found out she was a cool sore of Zeta Phi Beta. So I'm like, it makes sense. Let's talk about the Wine Cellars and your journey of getting here. So I'm so happy to have her on. Not only do we talk about her journey as stated, but we talk a little wine pairings. What goes best with the Chardonnay, what goes best with the Pinot Noir and Champagne. So we talk all about that. So you will really enjoy Like Fine Wine with Renee Rowe. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I'm a cool soror of...
What's up y'all, I'm a cool soror of...
Hi, I am a cool soror of...
Soror Podcast, hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. Hello, Cool Soror Collective. We are back with another episode, of course, of the Cool Soror Podcast. We thank you so much for being a part of the show, and I'm really, really happy. First of all, I'm in one of my favorite places ever. I'm sitting inside the Wine Cellars, and I'm here with the president, the founder, the visionary behind this immaculate business, Renee Rowe, who is a Cool Soror of...
Zeta Phi Beta Incorporated.
Yes. How you doing, Renee?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing fabulously well. I'm really, really happy to be here today. And like I said, this is one of my favorite places. I love wine.
Me too.
I love you. This is just perfect. The backdrop is beautiful. We have what are we drinking now? We have a glass of bubbly right now. What are we drinking?
We are drinking Scharfenberger.
Yes.
Root from California.
Uh-huh.
As close to true champagne as you're going to get from California.
Got it. Now, Renee, you are a wine enthusiast. You're a wine educator. How many titles do you have underneath your name?
Oh gosh, titles mean nothing. I am a lover of wine.
Yeah.
All things wine.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to get back to the story of Renee Rowe, of course, like from the very beginning, and then how you got into wine and being and having a brick and mortar and all of that stuff. But you're from Atmore, Alabama.
Yes, ma'am, I sure am.
Exactly. Is Atmore at? And I know that's not grammatically correct, but it just made sense to say it that way.
And that's how we say it, too.
Okay.
Atmore is actually right on the Florida line.
Okay.
It's near Mobile, but we are closer to Pensacola, Florida, than we are to Mobile.
Okay.
It's where the prison is. That's where everybody knows where the prison is.
That's what you're
Atmore,
known for?
Alabama.
Atmore, Alabama.
Federal Penitentiary.
Yeah. Yes. What's it like in Atmore, besides it being known for the federal penitentiary, obviously?
You know, where I grew up, when I grew up, it was a very, very quaint town. It still is. But when I was growing up, we had two restaurants. There was the Ponderosa and Gerlach's.
Okay.
When I went to college, we got our McDonald's. That was so super exciting.
That was a big deal.
Big deal.
Yeah.
But now we have a Hardee's and a Kentucky Fried Chicken and Church's and some other stuff. But now people know it for where Wind Creek Casino is.
Oh, okay. 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 So how many people growing up, what was the population?
Population was probably around 6,000.
So everybody knew each other.
Everybody knew each other. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Man. So you live in Atmore until you go to college, University of Alabama at Birmingham.
Correct.
Now,
yes.
How far is Birmingham from Atmore?
About a three and a half hour drive.
So you didn't want to leave Alabama, the state of Alabama? Did you think about
going
anywhere
else? You know what? I got as far away as my daddy would probably allow me to go.
Okay. Okay. He didn't want you to be too far?
Didn't want me to be too far. And would have been more comfortable had I went to a junior college, which was about 20 minutes away from home, but I was ready to go.
You're ready to go.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you stepped out and you went to the University of Alabama at Birmingham, what was that like for you? What was that like for you?
You know what? That's where I truly learned my love of wine, for one.
Really? It started there?
It started in college.
On Boone's Farm?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
I was joking.
Strawberry Hills.
Come on, Strawberry Hills, Boone's Farm.
Thunderbird.
Right.
Say what you want, but that was kind of a bridge for me to look at other things. Mm-hmm. You know, I found Matisse in the fancy bottle.
Yeah.
I was fancy.
Yeah.
So it allowed me to look at other things and step outside and realize that there was more to wine, mm-hmm. which is what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. So how much of the Boone's Farm did you consume?
Too much. Way too much. Way too much. But that's okay.
That's okay.
Yes.
And so you stayed at the University of Alabama.
I did. And it was really different. I had been to Birmingham, of course, lots. My brother actually graduated from UAB.
Okay.
So I was familiar with the kind of non-campus life because University of Alabama at Birmingham is Birmingham. It's mm-hmm. all over the place.
Right.
But I actually went with several of the young ladies that I graduated with.
Okay.
So it was cool because we would hang out on Sundays or Saturdays. We would sing gospel music. We would cook. We would do all kinds of things. So I still had kind of a sense of family there.
Okay.
So it was cool, but I met a lot of cool, different people. It was a great college experience.
Yeah. So what were you majoring in?
I was a music major.
Okay.
Intending on being a vocalist. I actually was going to be bigger than Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston.
That's
both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm classically trained, soprano.
Really?
Yes.
So do you still sing now?
I don't. I sing to my children, and they love the way I sing, and they're like, Mom, you're really good. I'm like, thank you.
Well, so you wanted to be this artist. When did that...
You know,
dissipate that desire.
You know, life changes you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
And I've had one incredible journey, and it's amazing the things that God has allowed me to do. I've lived such an incredible life and been to all kinds of places. I was also in the Air National Guard.
Uh-huh.
I joined with two of my girlfriends in college. We went to basic training and tech school together.
Really?
They made sure we stuck together. One of my girlfriends is actually still in the Air National Guard now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've had lots of different stops along the way.
Experiences.
Now, how far into your college career did you join the Guard?
After the first year.
And so you were doing school and Guard at the same time?
Yeah, because I was what we call a weekend warrior.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's one weekend out of the month. I did 6 weeks basic training in San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did 3 months in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah. So what was the conversation like when you and your friends were like, you know what, we should join the Guard?
You know what? We, again, coming from a background of families that didn't have a lot to offer financially, my dad was very adamant that he did not want me to get any student loans.
Okay.
So, I mean, he was footing the bill. And coming from a family that has you understand the importance of being a responsible person, you know, we were all together and we were like, you know, what can we do to help our families with money? And I don't know who came up with the idea, but we looked at the GI Bill. Well, what is the GI Bill? Well, it helps pay for school. So we were like, you know what? Let's go down and talk to them, see what they can do. And they kept us together and said, yeah, you can get the GI Bill. It will help take care of school. And it did.
Yeah.
My dad jokes now still. The last time I went home to see him, my dad is 83 years old.
Uh-huh.
He's like, yeah, my daughter, she told me, you know, She told me she joined the military. She didn't even tell me she was joining. It wasn't discussion or anything.
No, it was kind of one of those things because you had been, because your dad seemed like he was very involved. Was he intense?
He was intense. My dad was very strict. I have four brothers.
Okay.
I have no sisters.
Oh, are you the baby?
I am next to the baby.
Okay.
The knee baby.
Okay.
As we say.
Right.
But I come from a very, very strict family, not necessarily very religious. We went to church on a regular basis, definitely God-fearing, but from a very strict background. My father worked very hard and instilled in us, no one's going to give you anything. Mm-hmm. You have to work hard.
Yes, yes. I think that's what's missing from this generation today,
that
everything is so readily available for them. How are you able to instill those same values in your two boys today?
I raised them in a way of understanding. God gave you gifts. You are to use those gifts. But you have to work to earn everything.
Everything.
Nobody's going to give you anything. Nor am I.
Yeah.
Nor am I.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as I'm raising two black men,
mm-hmm.
two little boys who have to understand that people will look at you and prejudge you.
Always.
As we all do.
Yeah.
That's for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to work. And their father's the same way.
Yes.
You don't get anything out of life without working hard.
Yeah. Do you hear your father's voice?
Absolutely.
And do you laugh or chuckle or do you get mad? Like, what is that like?
I feel good about it. It gives me a sense of pride
uh-huh.
because I think I am who I am and I am the way I am because of my father.
Yeah. Are you a daddy's girl or would that be considered a daddy's girl the way the dynamic was?
Oh, no, I'm totally a daddy's girl.
Okay.
I'm totally a daddy's girl. But I was a mama's girl, too.
Yeah.
The only one that was like her.
Yeah. I know. She was like, I finally got my little girl.
Yes. After trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go back. So you joined the military. This was after your first year of college.
Yep.
And then what happens? That was the second year.
What happens the third year? Well, third year, I decide just want to earn more money.
Uh-huh.
So I actually, and I think probably at that time I was working for a small restaurant. Started out as Fry Girl.
Fry Girl.
Yep.
You were dropping fries.
I was dropping fries.
Get that temperature
I was
right.
proud too. No. I worked hard. They were right.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every time.
So I ended up working my way into an assistant manager's position and started doing bookkeeping. So that kind of lends itself to kind of working through the summers and then going, okay, I can make this much money, so I'm just gonna stop school for right now and just work.
So what was that conversation like, or did you just stop?
You
and
know,
hit,
I didn't have you, conversations
oh, you
with
just, you just stopped doing you just stopped just, going to school. You didn't tell your parents?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
Because you weren't asking for anything at that point.
I wasn't really asking for anything. They and my parents, you know, they again instilled certain values in me, and they also knew I was independent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they raised me to be independent. And I'm sure they were saying to themselves, she'll figure it out.
And you did.
And I did.
Yeah.
Within time.
Within time. Yeah. Everything in due time.
Everything in due time. Yes.
So this is your third year. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to go to school
anymore. I want to work.
You want to work.
Work.
And you're still bartending at this time?
I started bartending
time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how long did you do that before you made the jump to Connecticut?
Gosh, I probably bartended for 4 or 5 years.
And had not finished your degree. What were those conversations like over that span with your parents? Like, well, you gonna get that degree?
No.
They,
you know, how are you doing? How are things going? We just had basic conversations.
So you never felt that guilt that you didn't quote unquote finish?
No, because those conversations didn't come up. I think mm-hmm. even with my friends who were finished with school, it just didn't. I don't know. I think it was the type of people that I had surrounded myself with.
Or the type of person that you are that you didn't care about what other people thought.
Nope.
Are you still like that to this day?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 I mean, everybody has their insecurities, but at the end of the day, people are going to find flaws in everything.
Yeah.
People who are looking for flaws will find flaws.
Yes. So you did that for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the reason? Why? Alabama. Well, you were in Birmingham.
I was in Birmingham.
Birmingham this time. Mm-hmm. And you jumped to Connecticut.
Yes. While in the Air National Guard, developed a lot of really great, strong friendships. So I had
So you continued that?
I was still in it. Okay. And I had a friend who actually moved to Connecticut. And he was excited. I went to visit him once and he was like, why don't you move here? I'm like, I kind of like it here. And I was between working two jobs and still taking classes on occasion here and there. I'm like, I need a change. I just need a change.
Change the scenery.
Yeah. So I moved and I transferred from the Air National Guard there to the Air National Guard in Connecticut, where I transferred. I was in photo recon and I transferred to a disaster preparedness unit where I was the only girl.
Oh, wow. Oh, my
goodness. So that was really interesting. Teaching people how to wear gas masks.
In case of an emergency.
In case of an emergency, yes.
So you're in Connecticut, and then you re-enroll in school.
Correct, there. Yeah. Okay. Actually, I was there for probably 2.5, almost 3 years. I took my bookkeeping knowledge. I worked in accounts payables, accounts receivables, and I got a job at Cigna working in their accounting department and realized that in order for me to advance, I needed to go ahead and get my degree.
Yes. Finally.
So went back to school. My then boyfriend, who was my friend, actually was kind enough to pay our rent while I used my credit cards to finish my last year of school.
So did you ended up getting a degree in music?
Yes. Okay. I have a degree in music. I actually was a music major and a German minor because I had to take so many foreign language courses as a music major. I'm like, it's one class away. And I got a chance to go to Germany while I was in the military. So I'm like.
Were you able to use some of the knowledge that you had gained?
Ich spreche kleine Deutsche. A little bit. Little bit.
What does that mean?
I speak a little German.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Love it. Okay. Wow. And so at this point, you're still in your 20s.
Yeah. I was in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was probably 25, 26.
And you had experienced a lot of life at
love
that
and
point.
Life too. Yeah. Life is great.
Yeah. Beautiful. And so then you meet your husband now,
yes.
Wayne.
Yeah. Who worked across from me in a cubicle for several years because I had a boyfriend. I didn't pay him any attention and he didn't pay me any attention.
And that's so. How it just and then you just by happenstance or by God's dance, you guys meet and now we're here and he's in the vine cellars.
Yep.
Yeah. And you guys have two sons and it's a beautiful thing. So you moved back to Atlanta with Wayne?
Actually, I moved here and he moved 6 months later. Yes. So.
So but you guys were dating at the time when
we
you
were
moved
dating,
here.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Okay. All right. So when you got back to Atlanta, it seems like we're going all across from Alabama, Connecticut. Now we're back to Atlanta. So what do you do when you get here?
You know, I'm trying to figure out a way actually to get kind of into the music scene.
Okay.
Which didn't really work out because I'm not really, I seem like I'm really an extrovert, but I'm kind of not.
Yeah.
Not the type of person to go out to clubs and kind of hang out and see what's, no. So that portion I was just unprepared to do. So I focused on getting a job and continuing to work. So I worked in corporate America. I actually did more accounts receivables work and ended up in credit and collections. And the company that I worked for before I started looking on my wine quest, the company was sold.
Okay.
And I opted not to move to San Diego.
Right. Good. We're so glad that you didn't, because we wouldn't be having this conversation had you opted to move to San Diego. Along the path, from the Boone's Farm, Strawberry Hill, you started to continue to educate yourself in wine, or just tap into that.
Try different things.
Yeah. Yeah. So along the way, what were you discovering about wine that you still carry with you today?
You know, that there are truly millions of different types of grapes.
Yeah.
And they're grown everywhere. And it's just amazing, all of the characteristics and essences that are in wine.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. We're going to get into that. So you do this corporate thing. You're in corporate America, but something's pulling you. What was that pull that you were feeling?
You know, my husband and I had always talked about kind of doing a small business, and he was interested in opening a grocery store. And I've always had an interest in wine. So during that time, we took a 6-week diploma course on wine, and I'm like, this is what I want to do.
It was like the first day of class.
This is what I want to do.
Yep. You
this
knew
is what I want to do. Yeah.
And so, and then you start thinking, wow, all of this bookkeeping and accounts receivable, accounts payable, like all of that was preparation for me when I get my own brick and mortar. Had you thought of that at that point?
No, absolutely not.
No.
None of that came into play.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about owning a business. My parents had several small businesses growing up. They had a convenience store. My mom had a little sandwich shop. But even that, none of that came into play.
You know, black folks used to always own our own businesses. Entrepreneurship, we started what the entrepreneur life was back in the day because nobody would give us anything.
Absolutely.
So we started our own. So you had this entrepreneurial bug in you that you didn't even know.
Didn't know it.
Yeah. They planted that seed.
Yeah. And had no idea.
Yeah. Okay, so you do this course, and then you're like, this is what I want to do. So take me from there to a sitting in this establishment.
Oh, gosh. So I actually read an article in Black Enterprise magazine that was featuring a gentleman. His name was Todd Alexander. He was the only African-American distributor in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's fascinating. I need to talk to this dude. So I reached out. I called him and said, hey, my husband and I are interested in opening a wine shop. Can we buy you lunch? So we met with him, and he reached out to one of the local merchants and set me up an interview. And I went in, and he said, when can you start? I said, when do you want me to start? He said, can you be back at like 3?
Like that day?
Yes. I'm like, yes, absolutely. Because he agreed to mentor me and to teach me the ropes.
Okay.
So I worked for him for about a year, and then I got pregnant with my first.
Mm-hmm.
In between lots and lots of reading, going around scouting different shops, I would sit with my baby in my minivan doing traffic counts. So lots and lots of research while I was working on my business plan.
Nice. So you work on this business plan.
And thank God I have an accountant.
Yeah.
Thank God my husband's
an accountant.
Yes. Because there was a lot of stuff that I did. I'm like, what is a margin? What is a,
yeah.
What is a markup? What is that?
Yeah. And so when you, 2004, you, no, no, no. Yeah, 2004, you opened the doors here.
Yes.
In Smyrna and the wine cellars. And first of all, why Smyrna? Did you do your research on the type of people that like
Absolutely.
Wine in certain areas?
Again, okay. I did a lot of research. And that's, I think, one of the things that a lot of people miss when they say, you know, a lot of people want to start their business. Mm-hmm. I want to open a business. You can't just open a business. That is not how any of this works.
Yeah.
You can't. You've got to do research. I would go to City Hall, mm-hmm. talk to people, Chamber of Commerce, the SBA was immensely helpful. I actually took a fast track course, which was another course where we actually got to give our business ideas. And if you wanted to open a dog grooming place, I wanted to open a wine shop, you wanted to open a daycare center, you had people holding you accountable going, okay, so you have these numbers. How do you account for those numbers?
Mm-hmm.
So everything, there's got to be a plan in place.
How long was your research before you got
it? It was 4 years before we opened. And that's what people don't understand. It's a journey.
Yeah. Man.
I was a stay-at-home mom. We started online. While I was working at Ansley Merchants, I actually started, people would come in and ask for gift baskets.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wanted to do them. I said, hey, I think I can do gift baskets. It's like, you can have it. So we started selling wine accessories online in 1998.
My goodness, never knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're selling like baskets and what else? Just
corkscrews, decanters, stemware. And we sold, it was amazing because our first foreign order, we were like, somebody wants this, really?
Mm-hmm.
From France?
I'm like, they're
on a website?
Yeah.
So it was an exciting time. And being a stay-at-home mom, you know, I warehoused things in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
So I shipped, UPS was by my house every day.
I get it.
When we opened, you know, we waited because it took a long time also for them to build the building.
Uh-huh.
It took forever.
Because what was around here at the time in 2004? Was anything else?
The two buildings, Atkins Park,
yeah,
where that is, as well as Zucca's.
Oh, okay. That was
both of those buildings were here.
Okay.
This was a patch of grass where we are.
My goodness.
So we had to wait. And it took forever.
And you knew Smyrna was the area that you wanted to be in.
The demographics, the way the place was growing, the way it was progressing. Yeah.
Yeah.
When we rode through here, I'm like, this is it.
You knew.
This is it. It's a community.
It is.
And we want it to be a neighborhood shop. And that's what we are.
And I just need to tell everybody that, you know, Wayne and Renee are so good. And I know specifically for Renee, she was like, Rashawn, another Sauvignon Blanc. Like, she knows what everybody likes. How are you able to do that and remember that?
You know what? It's amazing because I can truly say that that is a gift.
That's a gift.
It is a gift.
Yeah.
Because I have people say, you have such a good memory. And people who know me would be like, no, she does not. You do not even understand. I have a horrible memory. I have a hard time remembering people's names. But I can remember if someone says, the last time I was in, you gave me this wine. It was white. It was this. And even if I don't remember, okay, tell me what you like. I can prescribe something that you will enjoy. Yeah. It is. It's a gift. And I can remember what my wine you bought last time. I don't remember your name.
But you know.
But I know what wine you had.
You had the Meiomi last time, Rashawn.
Yes.
And I just want to say, when I first started coming to the wine cellars, I was strictly a white wine girl, like Sauvignon Blanc. I just come from Chardonnay, so Sauvignon Blancs. And Renee has, my palate is so good now. I went from, I love it, I love Pinot Noirs now. I love Cabs. I love Malbecs. Now she's got me on these bubblies. And, like, I've never been that person. Is it, in your mind, do you, like, say, okay, she says she only likes that. Well, in my mind, I'm going to change that.
That's totally what I do.
Do you?
I do. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. My nature is being competitive.
Yeah.
And that's good and that's bad. But when someone comes in and says, okay, I don't like Chardonnay, that creates a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you to like Chardonnay.
Yeah, because it depends.
Yeah.
So many different styles. Wine is made in so many different styles.
Yes.
And I just offer people to just be adventurous.
Yeah, I know. And I was.
Outside of your box.
And I'm so glad I'm a part of her wine club as well, which you get a white and a red. Or if you want to do double red, you can do that per month. And so I started to really say, I'm going to drink this red and I'm going to find me a red I like. And so I started training my palate.
Yep.
And now it's like I almost drink reds exclusively.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your palate changes.
It did. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. So let's talk about your wine background and all of the knowledge that you've been able to accumulate over the years. And I know we talked about you being, or not being a sommelier.
Correct.
But just kind of doing what you do in your space.
Yes.
Why are you comfortable there?
Because for one thing, again, I don't have the best memory.
Okay, gotcha.
So I cannot walk you down the roads of Napa and tell you where all of these chateaus are located and all of this information. I can give you some basic background information about wineries, but I believe the essence of wine is in what you enjoy.
Okay.
I think that is the basis for it. So for me, educating myself came with a lot of tasting, mm-hmm. a lot of reading, and just being around people who were knowledgeable and kind of creating an environment for myself to learn over the years.
Yeah. So have you continued to take courses, or you just kind of learn by surrounding yourself with amazing people?
I learn, again, I'm kind of a hands-on person. So I taste wine probably 3 times a week here, just from reps coming in. Mm-hmm. I do trade shows. But again, especially when I first got into this business, I did a ton of reading.
Yes.
A lot of reading and a lot of research.
Yeah. I love it. And I love wine. Can we have more? Are we doing?
No. Sure. Absolutely.
Okay,
we can.
Okay. Let's talk about, like, what goes with what. And we'll just stay basic. Okay. So let's talk about Chardonnays. I used to be funny, started off loving Kendall Jackson Chardonnay.
Yep.
But have obviously expanded my palate to different regions and that kind of stuff. What would you say goes well with a Chardonnay?
You know, and again, it depends on the style of Chardonnay.
Okay.
Because there is a broad spectrum from California, kind of round, creamy, oaky, buttery.
Mm-hmm.
California is also making a lot of unoaked Chardonnays now, so you've got completely different styles.
Yeah.
And then if you go to somewhere like Burgundy and have a Chardonnay, it's going to be completely different. So for fuller-bodied, heavier chards, you want to do something like a roasted chicken, rounder Chardonnays, lobster with butter sauce.
Yes.
For your lighter style kind of Burgundies or unoaked Chardonnays, you want to stay super light and do something like a tilapia.
Yeah. Okay. So oaked and unoaked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I know the difference. Obviously, I know the difference just by hearing it. But as far as the process of making it, what is the difference?
You're going to have wine that's for oaked wine. They've either been fermented in oak barrels.
Okay.
For some of the lesser expensive Chardonnays, if you're buying something like Barefoot, a lot of times they just kind of chunk oak chips in there just mm-hmm. to give the toastiness.
Okay.
Just characteristic. A little bit.
Yeah.
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 Unoaked's going to be no oak. It's stainless steel ferment. It's clean.
Clean. And that's the one with just, would it be a twist off?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
No.
Oh, okay.
Because twist offs have nothing to do with the style of wine.
Okay. So I never knew that.
Nothing to do with the price of wine. I have some very expensive bottles on the shelf that have screw caps.
So what is the difference? What is the difference when you have the cork and when you don't?
There are a variety of different types of cork.
Okay.
You know, what people think is cork is not necessarily always cork.
Oh, come on now. I'm stabbing my fingers.
Cork actually comes from a cork tree. Sometimes they have bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So your wine may be corked or tainted.
Gotcha.
A lot of people started switching to the plastic corks.
Mm-hmm.
So people said, okay, let's try to get a lesser expensive process. And New Zealand kind of led the map on that as far as finding screw caps.
Yeah.
If you go to New Zealand, it's going to be hard to find a cork.
Yeah.
And when I opened, I hated screw caps.
Why?
Because it takes away from the romance. It takes away from the process. I want to work for my wine.
So you want to go with a wine opener, get it.
I do. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like I'm opening a Sprite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I hear you.
But there are a lot of people who love it.
Yeah, yeah. And especially when
I
got into Sauvignon Blancs, and that's when I started, and I love New Zealand.
Yep.
New Zealand Sauvignon, that's all I saw.
Yeah.
And that's all I knew. And so when I do Sauvignon Blancs, I rarely deviate from New Zealand. That's just my favorite. And everybody mm-hmm. has like their own favorite thing.
Yep. But you also know that that's definitely totally different style from California.
Oh, I know.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember one time you told me you don't necessarily like.
I don't love California Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah. What is it that you don't like?
Well, a lot of times they oak them. And it's just an alteration that's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you love champagne.
Love champagne.
Tell us your affair with champagne.
Ville Martin C. Mm-hmm. It's a grower. But I love, love, love the Grand Siecle.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
The bubblies. And you can drink bubblies with pretty much anything.
Champagne is the most versatile food pairing. You can do it. One of my favorite food pairings,
uh-huh.
The first time when I was working at Ansley, someone told me about fried chicken and champagne.
Whoa.
And I make good fried chicken.
You do?
And I did it and I'm like, oh my word.
It was you try that.
Oh, it's so good. That is my favorite food pairing. Oh,
fried
it's wonderful.
Fried chicken and champagne.
Yes, ma'am. But you can pair it with dessert. You can pair champagne with, and it's kind of like a sorbet.
Yeah.
If you've been drinking something or eating something that's on your palate, it cleanses your palate instantly.
Yeah. And of course, recently, well, not recently now, it's been over 2 years now that I've gotten into Pinot Noirs. I started loving Pinot Noirs first, and I was able to kind of go into Cabs and Malbecs and stuff like that. And really realizing like the different grapes. I didn't even realize all of that. Because when you're just drinking wine blindly, you don't really know.
No.
Yeah. So the grapes, I love Pinot Noir. It's like my favorite, but a Cab is good too. Okay, so tell me about Pinot Noirs and what tastes good with that.
Pinot Noirs are the perfect pairing with salmon.
Okay.
And if you're a red drinker and you have something like roasted chicken, mm-hmm. grilled chicken, Pinot Noir works very well because it has high acid.
Okay, okay. What about Cabernets?
Cabernets are meaty. Mm. They're more robust. So they require something that's heavy, like meat, steaks, things that are richer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Malbecs?
Malbecs can be a little tricky. You definitely want to do it with something, if you've got like lamb.
Okay.
Kind of just heavier, but not anything necessarily like a steak. If you want to do like stews.
Okay.
Or like roast beef.
Yeah. And how important is it, I guess, for people who, when they're finding what they like, to find a region that they like? Because I like Malbecs from Argentina.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How important, or is that important, or does it really matter?
The most important thing is finding your style.
Okay.
you know, I ask people, my questions are, what type of wine do you like? Do you like red or white? Do you like something light? Do you like something heavy? So that kind of keeps you from boxing yourself in to a certain category.
Okay.
It forces you to go, okay, I like Malbecs. All right, but are you interested in trying something different?
Yes. Yes.
And maybe I can recommend a Spanish Priorat.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Am I missing? I know I'm missing. There's so many. You said there's millions of grapes?
Oh, gosh. There's so thousands.
Thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands of grapes.
Yeah.
Italy. It's never ending.
It's never ending. And probably especially with Italian wines, I hear of a new grape that I've never heard of probably at least once a week. And I've been doing this for like 17 years.
Yeah. Goodness. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love it here. If you're interested in, you know, joining the club, winecellarsonline.com. So in 1985, you became a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Now,
yes, ma'am.
Did Zeta Phi Beta choose you or did you choose Zeta Phi Beta?
I think both.
Both.
Those two girlfriends I was telling you about that we joined the military together.
Y'all joined Zeta Phi Beta?
Nope. Oh. They actually were online. They went online 2 years before I did. And I'm like, I'm me, fi, me. I'm not joining a sorority.
Right.
Again, I'm me. For what? But hanging around with them and learning what they did, mm-hmm. what they did for the community, I was amazed. I'm like, y'all actually do stuff for people.
Right, right.
You have a purpose.
Yeah.
This is awesome. So it kind of chose me in that way. But I'm like, this is awesome. Yeah. And sisterhood.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of those.
Yeah. I didn't have any sisters.
Right.
Yeah. So you were number three online.
Number three.
Summer.
Yes, ma'am.
Gamma Theta.
Yep.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Now, are you doing anything? Are you at a graduate chapter now?
Or? I'm not currently active.
Okay.
You know, with two little boys who are in the sports, husband and a wine shop and all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
No time.
Mm-mm. It's all good. I understand. When that time comes, I'm sure you'll do what you can.
Yes.
So can you tell people more about what the Wine Cellars offers?
You know, we do tastings every Saturday mm-hmm. from 2 until 4. It's $5 per person or free with any purchase of $10 or more, but it's also free for wine club members and guests.
Yes.
We also have an awesome wine club where you get monthly shipments. If you can't come and pick them up, we will save them for you. One of the great perks of membership is we do member-only tastings once a month, and
yes,
those are super nice, high-end tastings. We have nicer wine, we have nicer cheeses, but it's a lot of fun and a great way to kind of force you to step outside of your boundaries and try some new things.
Yeah.
But we have a wine bar, we have free Wi-Fi. It's a very cool, relaxed atmosphere. You can come in and sit down and enjoy a glass during the day. Mm-hmm. You can come and do some work or read a book. We're kind of like Starbucks, only with wine.
Mm-hmm.
In the evenings, it gets a little bit more upbeat, a little more crowded, especially on Friday nights. It's a great time to come. We also do live entertainment once a month. We've got our Smyrna Wine Stroll coming up in May.
Yes.
Saturday, May 20th.
How can people get tickets to that?
Winecellarsonline.com.
Yes.
Yes.
It's when I tell you, it is just, I love coming here. And whenever I can get a chance to get here, I am here. I like to sit here and talk to Renee and Wayne and everybody who comes in. It's almost like Cheers. You know how Cheers was?
We know most of our customers
by name. Yeah. 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 You have your regulars, like folks that come in every day and have a glass of wine. And I love them for it.
Yeah.
Because they just, I mean, you guys are amazing. So what's next? Where do you see this going? Do you want to open up another location? Okay, all right. Let's just make this one go. Okay, she answered that one quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we're always, and that's one of the things, we're always kind of recreating ourselves, but that's kind of what you have to do to stay in business. Mm-hmm. When we opened, we didn't have a wine bar. It's only been open for about 7 years now. Doing more activities, more live entertainment, more functions, but just maintaining and trying to kind of grow with our neighborhood, which is growing dramatically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you also have craft beer, but you can't pour craft beer. That's one of the rules in Georgia, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. There are all kinds of funky laws.
I know.
Yeah. We can only serve wine by the glass.
Okay. Yeah. Because my, you know, I've told you about my best friend, Jen. She'll be on the show soon. She's done all that research.
Yeah, the brewmaster.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So she's done all that research. And so that's why I knew that rule.
Yep.
That you couldn't pour that. So,
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. Working Are you working on that?
Talked to the mayor yesterday. Working on it.
Come on now. Come on, mayor. Come through. Yes. Now, in 2002, though, really quickly, you did found the African American Wine Tasting Society, which has been really great for you. And can you just kind of tell people, like, what that was and why you wanted to start an organization, I guess, to get more Black folks into wine? Was that the premise?
You know, that was one of the reasons. But the main reason I started the organization in 2002 was basically just to enhance my own wine knowledge.
For yourself.
Because I was learning about wine or trying to learn about wine and had no idea of where to go and how to make things work. I was able to attend lots and lots of trade shows where, you know, I would be in a huge room full of people and saw one other African-American person in the room. And that was Chris Hinton, who just sold his wine store. He was the first African-American merchant.
Yeah.
But there was nobody else in the room. So asking questions was not happening. I was not going to ask anyone anything because I would have felt like an idiot. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I've got to figure out a way where I can get with other people to kind of have discussions other than my best friend and my brother and my husband about wine, to go over these things. So I actually took postcards. I went to Staples and I got postcards and I printed them and I dropped them off at salons and barbershops. I talked to the guy at Shark Bar.
Yeah.
He was all over it. So our meeting started out there. Our first meeting we had, I had like 45 people, which was amazing.
Yeah, that's
I'm like,
awesome.
I don't know any of these people, and they just showed up. And Anita Laraya, who ran the wine school, actually did our first class.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a full-throttle educational organization, 501c3 nonprofit, because I didn't start it as a business.
Yeah.
I started it for a purpose. So we meet each month at local restaurants around town. We sit down and we have a wine course for 2 hours.
That is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That is beautiful. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so glad. See, you did it for yourself and then it benefited other people. That's the true essence of giving.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Renee, this has been certainly fantastic. We could talk wine all day.
Yes, we can.
I just want to be your pupil. Can I be your student?
Absolutely.
Because I just want to learn more and more. So I love it. My friends think I'm like, you know, Sean knows about wine. I know a little bit.
You know what? In the grand scheme of things, I know a little bit. I'm always learning. Everyone.
We're always learning.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Always learning.
But you know a whole lot, though.
I know a good bit.
Yeah. Look at you. Being all modest and stuff. Well, Renee, thank you so much. I hope that if you're in the Smyrna area, that you'll definitely come and visit the Wine Cellars. It's one of my favorite places.
Thank you so much.
I absolutely love being here. I'm going to have me one more glass before I leave, and then we'll just call it a day. Thank you so much for being a part of the Cool Sore Podcast.
Thank you,
Rashawn. I appreciate it. Renee Rowe, everybody.
My name is Renee Rowe, and I am the owner of the Wine Cellars in Smyrna, Georgia, and I am a cool Sara of Zeta Phi Beta Incorporated.